Bhakti Bringa Govinda Swami to hear the continuation of this story. And don't forget, there is still a few copies available for sale of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, so anyone interested after class, please make your way, meet Maharaj and a few of his associates to purchase your copies. Thank you.
Yeah. Jaya Rama, Jaya Rama, Jaya Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna Chaitanya Bhagavatananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shamkun Radha Kun Gidwardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Navadip Dham Ki Ganga Maya Ki Jamuna Maya Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulsi Maharani Ki Sambeda Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Nitai Gopinandi All glories to the Assembly. All glories to the Assembly Devotees. All glories to the Assembly Devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter.
Yay.
Somebody reminded me that last year when I was here, I gave a whole talk about Easter. Last night. Gurudev was saying, your grandfather was a preacher man. Get out the Bible tomorrow morning. My grandfather was, he went to the Congo in 1912, and he established a mission in the heart of Africa. Okay. Yesterday we mentioned that there was a Brahmin who was not so learned and he desired material things. And that Brahmin, he worshipped a form of Devi. Her name was Kamakya Devi. And Devi appeared in the Brahmin's dream and blessed him and gave him a mantra for worshiping Madan Gopal in Vrindavan. And she gave him the instruction, always chant this mantra. So he took Devi's instructions very seriously, and he began chanting the mantra in seclusion. And by the power and the force of chanting the mantra, despite the fact that he was not very learned, many wonderful things began to happen. And I think that that's something that we have all observed in our lives, that we have received the mantra of the holy name and we have begun chanting, and many wonderful things and many transformations have taken place. And naturally, in the course of chanting, knowledge about the process of chanting has increased, and an understanding of what is the goal of chanting progressively becomes more manifest in our consciousness. So the Brahman began chanting, and he lost his desire for acquiring material things. And he left his home. He traveled south to where the Ganga flows into the ocean. He attended a festival there called Ganga Sagar Mela. And he said that Mela was, it was participated in by Brahmins who were basically Grihastha people, and they were teaching Karmakanda. They were essentially teaching how to follow prescribed Vedic activities so that one can be prosperous in this life and in the next life go to heaven. And he stayed there for some time, and he thought that it was nice, and he enjoyed having their association. But he continued chanting his mantra in seclusion. And after some time, he became very disinterested in what they were teaching him. So he left. And then he traveled up the Ganga, and he came to Varanasi. And Varanasi is the place of Lord Shiva. And Varanasi historically is a bastion of impersonalism. 500 years ago, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi, he spoke to Prakashananda Saraswati, and it's said that while he was there, he converted the 60,000 sannyasi followers of Prakashananda Saraswati. So they were presenting impersonal understanding, and so he stayed there because he liked hearing discussions from Vedanta. He liked hearing all of these Puranic discussions. And plus, they gave him good food. And he appreciated getting fed all the time and fed tasty things. But despite the fact that he was hearing these discussions in seclusion, he was always chanting his mantra. He never gave up chanting. And after some time, he lost interest. He said, no, this is not for me. So we can see that because he was just chanting with because he was just chanting faithfully as he'd been instructed by Devi. Very quickly he lost interest in the fruits of karma, and very quickly he lost interest in the fruit of the pursuance of jnana, meaning impersonal liberation. And we know that when Srila Rupa Goswami and his Bhakti Rasa Mrita Sindhu, when he gives the definition of bhakti, he says that bhakti has like primary lakshana and secondary lakshana. Bhakti has primary characteristics and secondary characteristics. And he describes that by saying, Anya bilasita svinyam yanakama yanavritam anukulyena krishna anushiranam bhakti uttama. The uttama bhakti is defined in this way. Secondary characteristics are jnana, karmadi, and avritam. The results for the desire to taste the results of jnana, meaning impersonal liberation, and karma, elevation to heaven, they're eradicated. And then he said that the primary lakshana, or the primary characteristic of bhakti, is anukulyena krishna anushivanam, which means that our duty as devotees is that we always cultivate activities which are favorable to Krishna. Anukul means favorable. Anukulyena krishna. So we cultivate things that are favorable for Krishna's devotional service, meaning we associate with Vaishnavas. We chant the holy name. We hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. We live in holy places. We worship deities. So many different activities are favorable for Krishna's devotional service. Anukulyena krishna anushivanam. And we always cultivate those activities. So by chanting, very quickly, he lost his taste for karma. He lost his taste for jnana. So then he continued on his way up the Ganga. And the next place he came to was Prayag. And at Prayag, he had a different experience. At Prayag, that's where they had the Kumbh Mela. Like this year was Purna Kumbh Mela in January, February. It was big, big Kumbh Mela. And many of you who follow Srila Gurudev on Facebook and other social media, you saw how he was posting pictures because he attended the Kumbh Mela this year, and he had contact. I mean, he has a very good friend whose name is Pundarik Goswami in Vrindavan. And Pundarik Goswami was introducing Maharaj to all of them. Big, big Mahants and the big, big Acharyas who were participating in the Kumbh Mela. So he went to Kumbh Mela, and there something interesting happened, and something really, you know, game changing happened in the course of his spiritual life. And the game changer is that he came into the association of Vaishnavas, because there are many devotees there. And he said, I came to this place and I found these people. He said, they were always reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. They were always singing the names of Krishna. They always had their hands in the air. They were always crying. They were always falling down on the floor and rolling back and forth. He said they were amazing people. You know, something different was going on here. And he said Sankirtan was always going on very, very loudly, loud chanting of the Lord's holy names. And because he hadn't had experience of them before, he wanted to approach somebody, and he wanted to ask somebody what was happening. And so he went to the devotees, and he said, my dear people, could you stop making all this racket for just a moment and tell me what in the world is going on here? And the exact word that Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, you know, uses in his translation, just stop the racket, you know, stop making all this noise and just tell me what's going on. And then as soon as he said that, then he got, you know, the typical Hare Krishna response. You know, he got the hardcore response. Shut up! Why are you speaking about our kirtan that way? You know, it's racket. And then there were advanced Vaishnavas who had like a lot of compassion. And they came to him and they started explaining to him what was going on. And they said, we're worshiping the Lord through chanting the holy name. And they said, come, we'll show you the form of the Lord that we worship. And so he was very interested. And they took him and they showed him the deity of Bindu Madhava. And they said, this is our Lord. And he was a form of the Lord that had four arms. And so this Brahmin, he became very interested, you know, in this form of Krishna. But he was having a conflict, and his conflict really started getting intense. You know, his conflict was by his faithful chanting of the Maha Mantra, or by the faithful chanting of the mantra of Krishna's names that he had received from Devi. He was becoming so advanced already that when he would chant the mantra, he would see the form of Madan Gopal while chanting. And here, he started seeing the Vaishnavas were worshipping a form that looked different than the form of the deity that he was seeing in his mantra. And he was going, what's going on? What's happening? And he loved the Vaishnavas association so much, but he really started having a conflict. He was saying, my Lord doesn't look like their Lord. And he was saying, and some of these people, they worship the Lord, and he looks like a lion. And some of these people, they worship the Lord, and he looks like a dwarf. And some of these people, they worship the Lord, and he looks like a fish. He was saying, but my Lord doesn't look that way. And he really started getting confused. He really started getting confused. And it was like creating a crisis inside of his heart. And while this was going on, he never stopped chanting his mantra. And he would be with the Vaishnavas, and then he would go back in seclusion. He would like chant in seclusion. He would chant. And he said that one day he was chanting, and he said he felt a little tired. He felt drowsy. I guess he was a normal devotee. I remember the very first time when the devotees caught me. It was in Rochester, New York, and they were on Harinam, and they said, we're going to take you back to Buffalo, New York. And so I did Harinam all day long with the devotees, and I was in ecstasy. And then we got inside the van, and back then our vans didn't have seats or anything, but we just had like boxes of Back to Godhead magazines that we would sit on. And as soon as the devotees sat down in the van after a day of Harinam, they all started going. And I was thinking, my God, they're yogis going into trance. Who are these guys, you know? And then one devotee named Pancharatna, and he wasn't Pancharatna then, he was Bhakta Steve. Bhakta Steve, he came up to me and he pushed in my hands the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the books that Prabhupada had brought over from India. He said, "Read this." And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And I opened it up, this brown book, and I opened it up, and all of a sudden I saw this strange language and all these words that I'd never heard before, and I'm like trying to read Om, Namo, and I just couldn't figure it, and I was trying. Then the next thing I knew, the van was stopping. We traveled 100 miles or whatever, and the van was stopping in front of the Buffalo Temple, and I was waking up. And my first thought was, maybe I'm one of them. Maybe I'm one of them. And when I walked into the temple, I sort of got the same stuff that the Brahmin got when he was with the Vaishnavas. I didn't know I was supposed to take my sandals off when I walked in the temple. And so I walked in and I just started walking over to the temple room where all the devotees were. I had my sandals on. And immediately one compassionate Vaishnava just started screaming at the top of his voice at me. That was my introduction to the temple. And then I took my sandals off and I went to Kirtan and I went into ecstasy. So he started feeling drowsy, the Brahmin. He was chanting and he started, you know, doing what we do. And then Bindu Madhava spoke to him. And Bindu Madhava, he gave him the instruction, "My dear Brahmin, please remember that when you were in Kashi, Vishwanath and Uma, they came to you and they gave you an instruction. And that instruction was go to Vrindavan. And if you go to Vrindavan, all your desires will become fulfilled. Please go to the shore of the Jamuna in Vrindavan. And by my mercy, there you will attain every extraordinary pleasure that you could imagine to ever experience. Please, don't delay. Go to Vrindavan immediately." And he specifically tells him, "Don't stop on the road for anything." He said, "Just go." So he says, like, next morning I woke up very early and I just started to Vrindavan. And he said, when I reached Vrindavan, he said, it was so wonderful. And he went to Vrindavan. Oh, and at this point, it's very interesting. At this point, he's like, we could say he's a new devotee, but already he's gone past karma, he's already gone past jnana. The Lord is giving him instructions to go to Vrindavan. And it says that when he started going to Vrindavan, he was constantly chanting his mantra. And Krishna's pastimes started to manifest everywhere around him. He was seeing Madan Gopal. He was seeing the cows. He was seeing people playing in the pasturing grounds. And he was very advanced already by faithfully chanting his mantra. And then he came to Vrindavan, he started wandering around and he couldn't find anyone in Vrindavan. There was no one there. So he went to the shores of the Jamuna in the way that Bindu Madhava had instructed him to go to the shores of the Jamuna. And he started hearing this crying from the forest, like this very pitiful crying, deep, deep, deep somewhere in the jungle. And according to Srila Sanatan Goswami, at that time, you know, on the banks of the Jamuna, it was really a thick jungle. And even we read, like, the time of Lord Chaitanya, when Lokanath Goswami and others, it was a jungle there. They were living in a jungle on the banks of the river. And it was just like somewhere around Keshigat. And he heard this crying. And he started going deeper into the forest on the banks of the river to find out where the crying was from. And then, when he started approaching closer, he realized that it wasn't just a person crying, but it was a person chanting their mantra with love. And the person was chanting the same mantra that had been given to him by Devi. And the person was just, their heart was just overflowing with love. You know, maybe I told you this last year, I can't recall. But back in 1978, when I lived in Vrindavan, sometimes we'd have the opportunity to have the association of one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers. And his name was Srila Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. And I don't know who here has heard of Babaji Maharaj before. Anyone heard of Krishnadas Baba? Srila Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji and Srila Prabhupada, they were like this. They were just really bound in love. And Srila Prabhupada, he sort of gave his seal of approval stamp on Babaji Maharaj, and he said he's a Paramahansa. And he says he has nothing, he has no attachment other than the holy name of Krishna. And Babaji Maharaj would chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. Now he could chant. And so whenever we were someplace where we knew Babaji Maharaj was, we would try to get just that lava mantra. He tried to get a moment of his association. He was very kind. Sort of like we have the experience that, like I know with myself, and I don't, maybe some of my God brothers and God sisters here who have Srila Prabhupada's association, you know, I was always like really sort of like shy and scared when I was around Srila Prabhupada. And I don't know if you all had different experiences, because I was really just a foot soldier. I wasn't like any sort of a leader in the movement. I was a cook. You know, I was sort of like low down on the totem pole. And you know, being around Srila Prabhupada, I'd always get nervous. When I just see him, I'd become nervous, you know. And Babaji Maharaj, being with him, he was like our uncle. And he was always, you know, so open and so accommodating, and so he was always blissful. Srila Prabhupada said he was always blissful because he was in spiritual ecstasy from chanting the holy names. At one time in Mayapur, Prabhupada was sitting there in the Vyasasan, and Babaji Maharaj is sitting there, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Ram, 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 Ram. And the devotees were becoming a little agitated because Prabhupada was speaking, Babaji Maharaj, Hare Ram. And they were like, you know, Prabhupada, what should we do with this guy? Prabhupada said, he's in Bhav. He's in spiritual ecstasy. There's nothing you can do. One morning in the winter of 78, I was taking some God brothers and God sisters from Toronto and Vrindavan Prakram. Back then, Vrindavan Prakram was, you know, there was no road. It was just dust, you know. You had to figure your way around. And we walked into Imrital Temple. It was freezing morning. We walked into Imrital Temple, you know. And when we went in, Babaji Maharaj was standing on the steps. He always wore this little tiny, like, white gumsha, and he always just wore a t-shirt around himself. And he was all, and he was Prabhupada's age. And he was very small, like Srila Prabhupada. And he was always grizzly. He always had his hand in his bead bag, always chanting. And he was surrounded by this galaxy of really sober-looking old sadhus. And he was standing on the on the steps of Imrital. And so we came in and we offered our dandavats. And we took dust from his lotus feet and put on our heads. And he looked up and he saw me. And he always had this thing, when he would see me, he would look up, he'd look at me, he'd go, like, oh my God, not you again. And then he went. So I came close to him and he said, today is Ekadashi. He said, every Ekadashi, I spend the night in this temple and I chant Hare Krishna all night long. He said, would you like to come chant with me? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to come chant with you. And so that's what I did. And I went down to Imrital about 8:30 in the evening and went in. And he was like, we learned, all of us, our old generation, we basically learned kirtan from, you know, and mridanga playing and everything from Srila Prabhupada. And some of us, you know, we learned a lot of the stuff that Babaji Maharaj would do also. And he could, when he would sing, it was like every syllable had, of the Maha Mantra, he'd just taken it and dipped it in honey, but the honey was love. And it was like every syllable of the Maha Mantra was just drenched in the honey of love. And I was thinking, wow, you know, tonight we're going to do kirtan all night long with Babaji Maharaj. So I reached there about 8:30 in the evening, and he was there, offered obeisances, and then he looked at me and said, I'm just going to take some prasad. And so being stupid as I am, I was thinking, well, he's a Paramahansa, and it's Ekadashi, and he eats on Ekadashi. And I looked at him and I said, Maharaj, you take prasad on Ekadashi? He looked at me and said, I fill my belly up three times on Ekadashi. And so he went over to their little prasadam room and he just took a slice of apple and then he took a piece of Ekadashi halwa. And he only took half the bite of the Ekadashi halwa and then he brought it back. He said, here, you take this. And then the only thing that was in that room was one of those Indian wooden beds. And he, you know, very nimbly, he bounced up on the bed and we sat on the floor next to him. And then I pulled out my recorder. And back then, it was like you younger generation, you know, our recorders were always like big things like this, because that's all that was available back then, you know. Pulled out my recorder, and he looked at it, he said, put it away. This thing is the disturbance. He said, tonight, there will be no disturbances. He said, because tonight, we're going to chant 1 lakh names on our japa beads. And I went, oh my God. I said, man, I came here to have fun. And now we gotta work all night long. I was like, oh my God. And then he looked at me and said, yes, and tonight there's one mantra that we're not going to chant. And I said, really? And I said, what mantra is that? And then he just took his beads and he went, and he said, we're not going to chant that mantra. He said, but we're going to chant this mantra. And he went, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And he was gone. That was it. It was just like one mantra, and he was transported. And we started about 9 o'clock at night. He was transported, and he didn't move all night long. He didn't budge. And he just kept chanting. And by Krishna's grace, by Prabhupada's grace, I stayed awake instead of like nodding off. And it was sort of like being in a story from Chaitanya Charitamrita or something like that. Or it was like here, you know, the young, that like the Brahmin going to Vrindavan and hearing somebody chanting with love. And it's like every word of his Maha Mantra was just, was like a heart that was just like ripping apart in love. It was like a heart that was just feeling separation from its beloved. And he was just crying and chanting all night long. And then 3 o'clock came in the morning. And I was the pujari at Srila Prabhupada's samadhi. And I had to leave because I had to walk back to ISKCON. And then I had to have my shower. And then I had to wake up Prabhupada at the samadhi at 3:45. So then I started going. And then, you know, before you leave a respectable personality, you have to take permission to leave. So I started going, Babaji Maharaj. I was going, Babaji Maharaj, Hare Krishna. And finally I went, Babaji Maharaj. And he went, what? 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 And I said, Maharaj, I have to go. And he said, get out of here immediately. He used the word jow, you know, which is like a, you know, sort of like a low-class way of saying, go, jow. And then I offered my obeisances, and I got up to leave, and then he folded his hands, and he looked at me like he was a little boy. And he said, go. He said, promise me one thing. And I said, yes, anything. What do you want? And he said, Kirtaniya Sadahari. He said, always chant the holy names. Never stop chanting. So this Brahmin heard somebody performing Nam Sankirtan with pure love. And he started looking for that person. And Sanatana Goswami says that he went to the banks of the Jamuna. And he said he went so deep into the grove on the banks of the Jamuna, he said it became so thick in there that there was a place where even the sun couldn't shine through. And he looked in and he saw this very beautiful young man who was sitting there. He said he was absolutely beautiful. And he had the dress of a cowherd boy. And because he'd been seeing his deity when he had been chanting, when he saw the cowherd boy, he thought it was Gopal. And he looked and he said, hey, Gopal! And he thought that he had found
Gopal. He thought that he'd found Krishna. And he went and he fell flat at the feet of Gopal, and he thought that it was his worshipful deity. And and that young boy, he was lost in his chanting and love, but he came back to his external consciousness and he saw this Brahman laying at his feet. And then he understood everything. He said, this is a Brahmin whose family came from Mathura. He's been worshiping Kamakya Devi. She gave him the same mantra that I chant. And so what he did is he got the Brahmin to calm down. And then he wanted to gain the confidence of the Brahmin. So what he did is he said, please, sit down. I have water here. Please, take some water. And then he looked at the Brahmin, and the Brahmin has just arrived, and he hasn't said a word. And he looked at the Brahmin, and he, to gain his confidence, he started telling the Brahmin everything about his life. He said, oh. He said, you come from Assam. You worship Devi. She gave you a mantra. Oh, and yes, and then you went to the Gangasagar Leela. And the Brahmin was hearing this boy describing his life and became very confidential. He felt relaxed, you know, that I can be in his association. Somebody's got to teach me how I can keep this thing activated. Okay, so now it's going to start. The Brahmin, after Gop Kumar has gotten his confidence, then with great humility and considering this young child of the cowherds the best of wise men and a great saint, the Brahmin very submissively spoke. And this is what the Brahmin said. The Brahmin said, from various sources, I have heard about various goals, and I've heard about various methods to achieve them. But I still cannot definitely decide what goal should I strive for, and what do I have to do to achieve it. So again, you know, it's come directly to the point, sadhya and sadhana. I heard from these people who were teaching about karma that was the goal. And they were saying, you can perform rituals. And I heard from people who were cultivating knowledge that liberation was the goal. And they were very austere, and they were studying Vedanta. But still, I haven't been able to understand sadhya and sadhana. And as we mentioned yesterday, this is our business. Our business is to understand what is the highest goal of life. We know what is the highest goal of life. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Krishna Prema. He came to give a very exalted form of Krishna Prema. Anarpita charim charat Koruna Yavatirna Kalao Samarpaitam Unata Ujvalarasam Savakti Shriyam. Lord Chaitanya came to give something, Anarpita Charim Churat, that had not been given for a long, long, long time. And what was it that he came to give? Unata Ujvala Rasa. He came to give the type of love that is only experienced by the residents of Goloka Vrindavan. He didn't come to give us any other type of love for God. And really, my dear devotees, we understand that there's many different types of love. There's really lots of different types of love for God. And we'll see that in the course of Gop Kumar's journey. You know, I was in Vrindavan before coming here. And there's a group of young devotees over there, super wonderful young guys. And they're all like in university graduates, and we always do things together. We go to Prakram, we do kirtan together, we hang out with one another, we go to Jaipur. And I have a disease. I have, obsessive compulsive disorder. And that my house has always got to be clean, you know? It's like if my house is not clean, I start freaking out. I start having a meltdown. And I was going through my cabinets the other day, and I was finding if there was any old t-shirts or anything like that that I could, like, get rid of from my house. And then I called in old books, you know, like anything. I had two copies of a book, and I was, like, cleaning out everything. And then I called the young guys over and I said, look, guys, this is for you. And I had one t-shirt and I gave this t-shirt to one of the boys. He said, oh, Maharaj, I love this t-shirt. I love this. So this word love has become so trite. I love my computer. I love my glasses. I love my shoes. I love my house. I love my car, you know. But real love is something different. And all love is not the same. And all love for Krishna is not the same, because Krishna is worshipped in a lot of different places, and God is worshipped in a lot of different ways. Different denominations, different faiths, they all, you know, they ascribe to the point of loving God, but they love, but they have different processes that they follow to love Him. See, it's not all the same. People in heaven, they love the Lord, they love God, but it's not the same type of love that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. Throughout all the heavenly planets, that they love the form of Krishna who's living there. And in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world, to go to the spiritual world, you have to have pure love. You have to have that type of love that you're doing it and you're not expecting anything in return. It has to be selfless love. So to put your toe inside of the spiritual world, like the whole nature of your consciousness or your concept of love, it has to radically change. There has to be like a real paradigm shift, you know. I'm not doing it because I'm expecting anything in return. I'm doing it just on the basis of love. But even there, their love is imbued with different feelings that you don't find in Goloka Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came specifically to give us that Goloka Prem. And he did that by blessing us with Harinam Sankirtan. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. That by performance of this Harinam Sankirtan, you know, we can actually taste the love of Goloka Vrindavan. Something very, very special. We can love Krishna as one of his servants in Goloka. We can love Krishna as one of his boyfriends in Goloka. Like we, Vinod and I, we had a friend in Vrindavan, Dadu. Pratapana, were you there when Dadu was there? Can you remember Dadu? Or you had already gone? Can anyone here remember Dadu? A few hands go up. Dadu was a cowherd boy. He was like signed, sealed, delivered. He was stamped. The only thing that he desired in his life was to be a cowherd boy, you see. And he used to tell me, the only way I will get my desire fulfilled to become a cowherd boy if I receive the grace of Srimati Radharani. She'll bless me. She'll certify me. And then my desire to serve Krishna in the association of Sudam, Subal, Marumanga, that will become fulfilled. Or we could serve Krishna as one of his girlfriends, or his parents, Mother Jasoda, or his Nanda, as an associate. We can't become Mother Jasoda, we can't become Nanda, but we become an associate of them. Or to become a servant of Sri Radha. That's what Chaitanya, that's the type of love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us. Something different and extraordinary. But his question is this: I have heard of different goals. What is the sadhana to achieve that goal? And we as devotees, we should be asking the question, if that love in Goloka Vrindavan is something which is so unique and so extraordinary and so special, is there a special sadhana that we're supposed to be performing while chanting the holy name of the Lord? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to think? How are we supposed to act? So, and then he says, my dear cowherd boy, whatever the goddess told me to do when she gave me the mantra, I have been doing it. And he says, but I'm not sure really of what I'm doing. Therefore, all I can say to you is now I think my life is worthless. I'm just useless. I'm wasting my time. And the only reason I'm continuing to live is because of the mercy of Bindu Madhava, Lord Shiva, and Uma. That's the only reason I'm alive. Otherwise, you know, I'm finished. Only by their mercy, by the mercy of the Lord, by the mercy of his Vaishnavanam, Yata, Shambhu, by the mercy of Lord Shiva, only by the mercy of Devi have I been blessed that I have met you today in this forest of Vrindavan. Now you are just, and you look just like my worshipable deity, Gopal. And I'm so happy that I've met you here. Please, could you do something? And Gop Kumar said, yes. He said, could you deliver this wretched soul? Could you instruct me? Could you clearly help me to understand what is my goal? Could you clearly explain to me what is the sadhana, what is the practice I'm going to have to undertake to get there? And then, you know, Gop Kumar is sitting there and he's looking at this Brahmin, and the Brahmin is thinking, he's already done everything that he has to do in order to achieve his perfection. Indeed, his life is already a success. He said, there's only one thing that is left for him to do. And that one thing is he has to attain the lotus feet of the Lord directly. He has to have the Sakshat Darshan of Krishna. And he needs to become, and then he says, this is something very interesting, and this is beautiful. He says, there's only one thing he needs to do. He needs to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. He needs to see Krishna directly. And then he says, and he has to become not so much attached to his solitary chanting, the way that he's been doing, but he has to become more attached to the loud sankirtan of the Lord's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then the cowherd boy, Gop Kumar, he says, certainly, there is no means of perfection which is greater than attaining the lotus feet of Sri Madan Gopal. That worship yields far more than what anyone could ever respect. And that worship, that attainment of Madan Gopal's lotus feet can only be done through the performance of putting your hands in the air, everyone, and very loudly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He says, there is no other final goal than the goal in which pure love of Godhead appears, and that love of Godhead makes you understand that everything else is useless. And then Gop Kumar says, but for me to bring him to this realization, I think I'm going to have to tell him my story. And I'm going to tell him my story in full. And then all of his doubts will be cleared away. And then Gop Kumar, he thinks. He says, but describing one's own glories is always disapproved by spiritual authorities. But I can't think of anything else I could tell him that would convince him as much than if he heard my own story. And oh my Lord. Sorry, folks. Sometimes I push the wrong button when I'm using my computer and the text goes away. This is the next thing that Gop Kumar says. He says, Swa Prashamsha Drugo Mrityu. And that phrase means self-praise is as good as death. That's nice, isn't it? To praise yourself is as good as death. So next time we all start getting a little heady about ourselves and we start blowing our own horn, you know, we should remember that self-praise is as good as death. So he decides to tell the Brahmin his story, and it's a story of sadhana. It's a story of meeting his spiritual master, and it's the story of sadhana that takes trillions of billions of years. And if we become imbued with the mercy of Srila Sanatana Goswami, And Sri Madan Gopal and Gop Kumar will cover a trillion billion year story tomorrow in 1 hour. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
One more big round of applause for His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Govinda Swami, everybody. We can still eagerly look forward to one more part tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m.